I'll be wearing my glasses tonight. I forgot my book. This little print.
It's little.
It's little. Do I look crazy? Yeah.
Oh, I gotta get a couple cushions.
118 in the hymn book. We're going to be without our band, except, of course, we have Jenny. Jenny is like Pete Rose. She just plays through the pain. But pray for her. You know, I told her we could sing Acapulco style, but she says she'll play. She holds the guitar a certain way, so her arms of it feels better. We will remember to pray. 118. You can't turn your head, can you?
This is a great song.
We'll be praying. I want to mention this. We'll be praying for the Allball family. They'll be here a little late, but they are they hope to be here by the time we're in the Bible study, which they are at a funeral for Josh Taylor. He was their youth minister years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago. That's how old their Allball kids are getting. But pray for his wife and family. And then on the way in, we got a phone call from our Christian neighbors. Les and Deb are good friends of ours, and their pastor passed away today.
Yeah.
He's a London Baptist Church pastor.
He's about Greg's age.
About my age. Jim Garrison. He had a lung disease, but it's not COPD, but we're not sure what it was because there was confusion on what they called it.
Yeah, I don't think he's been there that long.
A couple years, you said.
Yeah, he's been there several, I don't know how many years at that church.
So, as with Kim's Aunt Debbie, all three of them are with the Lord now. And so we pray and weep for the families who are going to miss them, but they're much better off. And as I said earlier, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here right now.
Amen.
It's one of those things where you just don't want to be too happy about it and joyful about it because of people like Jessica back there who cries every time you talk about it. But, you know, you're not supposed to weep every time you think of them if you know they're in heaven.
You weep for yourself because you're still here.
Because that's what, as Christians, we have joy. My grandpa Miller's in heaven. And
my mom's in heaven.
Her mom's in heaven.
And my Uncle Charlie, my Aunt
Mary. It makes me joyful. I don't understand the crying. I really don't. I know I miss them, but I'm thinking about, man, what are they living with now? What are they seeing now? Your mom wouldn't come back here if God offered it.
I wouldn't wish her back here.
I wouldn't either.
So let's sing about the reason why we know we're going to heaven. We know we're going to heaven because of what Christ did on the cross.
My religion.
388 hymnbook. Yeah, I think of my poor grandma. Last few years of her life, didn't know where she was, didn't know who people were, and went home, be with the Lord. Now she knows everybody. And she knows where she's at. So God has provided a wonderful salvation. Have thine own way, Lord. Our study tonight in James 4, 5, and 6 has a lot to do with... You can play while I'm talking.
No, I can't.
Oh, you can't play?
Play when you're ready.
Okay. Pride versus humility. Pride versus humility. Have thine own way, Lord.
For 2 days till after I did it. For what now?
89. 489. Glory to his name. All four verses.
I'm just trying to make a little adjustment here.
Glory to his name.
All right. Good singing. And I always think about our little group Wednesday night. And think about Jesus when you get alone with the apostles. And they didn't have instruments, so they sang Acapulco style, right? But I hope we get to hear that. At some point, Jesus just says, I'd like for my apostles to join me.
No, that'd be great.
And we're going to sing a little song. Wouldn't that be
great? That'd be great. They're going to hear it, I believe. It's going to be something else.
What are they going to sing?
A song.
A song. Because they sung in heaven, remember?
All right, onliners, get your email prayer request in bbfohio@protonmail.com, and those in the house will have to write on a notepad because no one mentioned to me that we're out of prayer card Sunday, so I'll have to try to print some more before Sunday.
I have one left.
Okay. All right, and I think we're looking good on all that. Turn it up, I think so. So, any word on MeWe about the sound? We have a crew of MeWe watchers, and they let us know if there's any problems. Oh, Doug's got one. You need one? Poor Stephen. You're just going to have to make that your ministry on Sunday mornings, Jessica, when you see Stephen come in asking for his phone.
Well, but see, I objected and I had it off.
Yeah, there's some. But it, what kind of phone is it?
I think it's Android, which is what I have.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah,
nope. Don't tell her what that means either, Doug.
I know.
All right. We're.
Whatever you do.
We'll keep the questions and comments to the end, if you would, please. Current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Who is that?
We'll have to pray for Charlie, because he don't even know what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
I said, I'm in church. He said, oh!
Yeah, but we've got...
Kids, they've been saved.
Joe Biden.
They've got... Yeah, we're used to that.
They got lots going on.
So we have headline number one is the deep state globalist woke general. Is his name pronounced Miley or Millie?
Millie Vanilli.
That's how you remember. Remember that group? They were a bunch of fakes like General Millie.
Yeah.
This is the headline. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading it. Trump on dumbass Millie. Action should be taken immediately for secret calls with China.
Yep.
Former President Donald Trump castigated Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley in a statement on Tuesday after a new book alleged he had taken secret action to limit the president's authority in the wake of January 6th and told China that he would give them advance notice if the U.S. were to attack.
Oh,
that's treason.
He needs Times Square.
The only reason he would get by with this, it tells you that we're already surrendered to the United Nations.
Yes.
There's something that we don't know going on with the elites in this country, but that is treason.
Yes.
The book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa alleged that Milley called a secret meeting at the Pentagon after the Capitol breach on January 6th and told senior military leaders to notify him in case the president wanted to order a nuclear weapons attack. I'm sorry. All these people who think that Trump, they created in their minds that he was going to start a nuclear war. You remember they did the same thing with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
They are projecting. If we ever have a nuclear war, you can guarantee it'll be a liberal pushing that button.
Yep.
It always is, every time we go to war.
Yep.
The book also alleged that Milley held two secret phone calls with his Chinese counterpart 4 days before the 2020 election and after January 6th to reassure him that the U.S. would not attack China, and if it did, he would alert him immediately. I'm telling you, liberals like Milley are the enemy of our constitutional republic. When George W. Bush, who's not a conservative, he's a neocon. He's not a conservative. And when he stood up at 9/11 commemoration and pointed the finger at Trump supporters, did you see that? How many of you saw that?
Say that again.
George W. Bush.
Oh yeah, that.
Said that you and I are the most dangerous threat to this country.
More than Al Qaeda.
More dangerous than Al Qaeda or ISIS.
Yeah, that's all I gotta say.
It's just so much that can be said about that, but I'm telling you, this is all just setting the stage for the rapture, the beginning of the beast system, and the destruction of the United States of America as you know it. And we will not get in the way of anyone who wants to attack Israel.
Yes, and that the only one that's sinning.
And that opens the way for the fulfillment of Revelation 12.
Yes.
Trump's response. He says, quote, "If the story of dumbass General Mark Milley, the same failed leader who engineered the worst withdrawal from a country, Afghanistan, in U.S. history." So Milley is a loser. Yeah. He's an imbecile and he's a traitor. What else can you say about a general? "Leaving behind many dead and wounded soldiers, many American citizens, and $85 billion worth of the newest and most sophisticated military equipment in the world, and our country's reputation is true." He's saying if all that story about Milley is true, then I assume he would be tried for treason in that he would have been dealing with his Chinese counterpart behind the president's back and telling China that he would be giving them notification of an attack. Can't do that.
That's right.
The correct immediate response is clear. Rand Paul and Marco Rubio are just two of the senators calling for him to be immediately removed or fired. And if you wonder, that clown over there to the right wearing 4 stars on his shoulder is a disgrace to every 4-star general this country has ever had.
Yep.
Number 2. Meanwhile, the sodomites continue to come for the children. Cartoon Network and HBO Max are targeting preschoolers with woke animated shows. This is one coming out called Little Ellen. It's that little pervert on the far right corner down there, Ellen, that a lot of Christians watch her show like they haven't got a brain in their head.
Ellen DeGeneres.
They're making a cartoon based on her childhood. Little Ellen, walking around with a little sodomite rainbow on her chest. And I'm not playing the little trailer there, but then I'm just going to give you some more examples of how the sodomites are coming for the children. There's this, Lego introduces Queer Eye toy set inspired by the Netflix show of sodomites. A show about sodomites. Legos for the kids. Isn't that sweet? There's what the box looks like when you buy it.
Nope.
The effort to pervert the children is an endless onslaught at this point. I'm going to show you 15 examples brought to you by a sodomite, Kelly Martinez, who works for BuzzFeed. 15 examples of LGBT characters on kids' shows, and this sodomite says, because sometimes TV does good things. She'll burn in hell if she don't repent. That's child abuse. That's not a good thing.
Amen.
Mr. Ratburn on Arthur. That's PBS. Gay marriage for your children. Susan and Cheryl on the show Good Luck Charlie. That's Disney. Ruby and Sapphire on the show called Steven Universe, Cartoon Network. Rachel Bighead. It's a trans on Rocco's Modern Life, also on Netflix. Aunt Holiday and Auntie Lofty on My Little Pony, Hasbro. The Friendship is Magic is, I guess, the episode or the version of it. I don't know anything about it. Cyrus Goodman on The Andy Mack Show on Disney. Princess Bubblegum and Marceline, I guess I should pronounce that, Adventure Time on Cartoon Network. Harold and Howard McBride in the show Loud House, that's a Viacom cartoon. Asami Sato and Korra, The Legend of Korra, Viacom. Milo, Danger and Eggs on Amazon. That's why we've canceled our Amazon Prime subscription. Flicks and Okra on Star Wars Resistance. It's a Disney. Sheriff Blubbs and Deputy Durland on Gravity Falls. Again, Disney. EJ and Sue Randall on Clarence. It's a trans couple. Cartoon Network. And rounding it out is Josh on The Lodge and Jackie Lynn Thomas on Star vs. the Forces of Evil, both Disney.
Reprobate.
Preparing this generation to love the sodomite Antichrist that's coming.
That's right.
He'll be a vile person, which in the scripture is tagged along with being sodomites. He also would not regard women. Is it worth, or is watching this trash worth your relationship or that of your children with God? That's a question that Christians have got to start asking if they're watching this stuff. Because in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, we're told, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Not Greg. The Lord. "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, on a couple of occasions in the past, shows have broached the homo thing, and then as a result of either backlash or ratings or whatever, they dropped it. And I know a couple of people who continue watching a show like that in the past, and I've told them, I said, first of all, it's between you and the Lord anyway, but I think, yeah, you support them if they do that. You know, if a show comes out with it, but then they retract it, you can support them and say, well, if you, as long as you keep that stuff off there, we'll watch your show. Well, it really has happened in a show now recently. It didn't happen recently in reality, but for Jenny and I, it happened recently. A show that has aired years past called Murdoch Mysteries. It's a Canadian show. And they had a season 8, I think it was. They had a segment of shows where they brought out one of the characters came out lesbian with another woman. This was supposed to be like 1901 in Canada. So we were going to stop watching it. Well, then I did some research and looked, and they got rid of the characters and totally went away from the story, as far as I can tell. And there's several seasons already after that, and it's still on. So that's an example of, you know, hey, people spoke. They said that this was Canadians. And, you know, they were saying, you know, you're ruining this family show. And so they listened. So that's all you can do. You take a stand, write letters, turn it off, whatever, and if they do what's right, you can watch it, as long as it's decent, but if not, you should turn it off. And what was the other show? There was a show we were going to watch, a couple of shows we were going to watch. And it was like...
Well, there was one that was about horses, but it was yeah, muddy.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Just sometimes you just turn it off.
Canadian one, I don't think I saw it.
Huh?
They always say hey at the end.
A.
I don't think
it's
A.
It. You see that, A?
That's right.
I doubt it. All right, anybody got a comment before we move on? Y'all happy about that, huh? About as happy as me?
I think
they ought to take them in general and hang them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if truth be known, there's been some serious treason going on. Yeah. Or had, and the people involved in the stealing the election.
Yeah.
You know?
Pelosi and Harris and all the rest of them ought to be executed.
And I'll tell you, every time I get angry about it, just because that's the right thing to do is get angry about it. But then I'm sitting there thinking, you know, we should expect this kind of thing if we're as close to the rapture and great tribulation as we believe we are. We still do what's right. We still fight the good fight. We still, you know, write letters, make phone calls, emails, educate everybody, do what you can. But just think about it. Just think about it. We're in a town. How many people do you think is in this town?
A million.
In Worthington?
Not in Worthington.
I just mean Worthington, although we could really say Franklin County.
About 40,000.
40,000. I only know of two or three churches in the area that believe the Bible, preach and teach the King James Bible, and the truth, doctrinally sound. Free of charge. Free to walk through the door, free to listen on the radio, free to tune in on the internet. Most of the people that tune into our studies on the internet are outside of town. And we've gone door to door, we've handed out information about our meetings, handed out information about the website.
It says it's got about 15,000.
Oh, Worthington?
Yeah.
And, you know, they flock to these big churches with the rock concerts, you know. They'll flock to places where some guy's going to stand up there. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but have you seen Andy Stanley lately? He's baptizing open homosexuals.
Ugh.
He's all into the Black Lives Matter stuff. I mean, and his dad is going right along with it. And I'm telling you, these guys that 20, 30 years ago took a stand for what's right, and now, fast forward, just bowing down, man.
Well, now you know why I call Columbus Sodom and Columbus and Columbus and Gomorrah.
Columbus is one of the top cities in the world for the gay lifestyle.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons I want to move outside of town. In case the fire and brimstone comes down, I'll be... All right. So we know he's coming soon. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, then we'll get into our Bible study before it gets too late. We're in James chapter 4. If you want to get your Bibles out. And we'll open with a word of prayer. And I'll have Brother Jim, if you would, open Bible study.
Lord, Father, we just ask for blessing over the service tonight. Lord, we thank you for giving us traveling mercies here. We pray for those that are still on the way. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would be with the pastor. Work through him, Lord, give us information we need. And Lord, we just thank you that we do not grow weary of faith.
Yes.
In our well doing. Lord, we know what to do. We have your word. And we're just so thankful. We just ask your blessing over everything said and done.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to cover two whole verses tonight. We're actually going to use our study from last week to set the stage for what we're going to talk about tonight. God resisteth the proud. James 4, 5, and 6. And you'll recognize verse 6 from our study last week if you were here or listened online. Let's read verses 5 and 6 together. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God's people say amen.
Amen.
We covered verse 5 in our previous study, but begin there for context in verse 5. And we won't rehash the message. How many times you've been to a Bible study and a fellow get up and end up spending half the time talking about what he taught last week? I fight that temptation. But we read, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit, that's a small s, not the Spirit of God, but the Spirit in you and me. It's a fallen spirit. We're sinners. And it says, where the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Miss Lee?
Yeah, I'm
falling
asleep.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm drunk.
Yeah, be safe. Good night. But he giveth, or it says, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Big question mark there. And we discussed that, how that it is our spirit in us that is the problem. And what do we need? We need what's answered there in verse 7 or verse 6. Our spirit lusteth to envy and must be brought under control of God's Spirit, capital S.
Yes.
In other words, we need God's what?
Grace.
Grace. People like to argue about the definition of grace. And it just basically means that it's something you don't deserve. And now, people, if you do the study, the word mercy and the word grace does have a difference of meaning. And mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
Right.
See? Mercy is he didn't throw you in hell the first time you sinned. Grace is that you sinned and yet he still saved you. See, that's the difference between the two. Mark?
I was always told in letters and grace stood for God's riches at Christ's expense.
And that's what I'm talking about right there. Is that's not a bad, what's that called?
Acronym.
But people debate that. They'll say it's not really as good a definition. I'm like, you know, I don't want to strive over words. I want to understand this, that I deserve to be in hell and that he didn't put me in hell even before I saved. He was having mercy on me. I don't deserve to be saved. I'm not saved because of my works. I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me. That's what that acronym Mark just gave you says. So I'm fine with that. Now, some people have tweaked it and this and that, but as long as you don't contradict what the Bible teaches, I'm cool. I'm good with that. But he giveth more grace. That's another thing. Grace is a gift. Grace is not something you can earn, and that's where the merit issue comes up. It's not something you merit. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you earn.
It's unmerited favor.
And who does he not give his grace to? That's what the first part of the rest of the verse says there. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the what?
The proud.
The proud.
Wow. Yeah.
Hey, if you've done much witnessing in your life, I'll guarantee you one thing. If you think about it, you'll realize that most all the people who reject the gospel do so out of pride. Too proud. A lot of people too proud to admit they need to be saved in the first place. You know how many times I've stood there, I can't speak for everybody here, but how many times I've stood there talking to somebody and tried to get them to admit they're a sinner? And it's not that they won't admit they're a sinner, but they spend all their time excusing themselves and saying, well, I'm not as bad as most people. I haven't killed anybody.
Where's the man
that
pleaded his own
eyes? Yeah. I'm not a rapist. And if you may not know how to answer that, so let me help you out, because this I learned from others. This isn't my great discovery, but I was very glad when I was taught this, that when someone says something like that, you respond by saying, well, wait a minute now. Let's just hypothetically say you did murder somebody. Do you think going in front of the judge and saying, yeah, but I haven't raped anybody, and I just murdered that person, that one person, that one day?
Just that one time.
Just that one time? And I've lived my whole life not murdering people, and you're just going to ignore that? Think how crazy that would sound in a court of law. Well, that's how crazy it sounds, really, if you think about it, when people say that when you're witnessing to them. And they're certainly not going to try that at the judgment.
Amen.
They will not try to excuse their sin for the fact that they didn't sin as much as they could have at the great white throne. Mark?
And also, I've said this before, there'll be no ACLU lawyers on judgment day.
There's only one lawyer for hire.
Well, that's Jesus.
And if you haven't received him before death, he refuses to represent you because you rejected his offer.
That's right. Amen.
You are covered with blood.
Yeah. And anybody there without the blood doesn't have an attorney. We learn in Scripture, God hates pride. Amen?
Amen?
That's why it's so amazing to me you have professing Christians who take part in pride events, or at least will tell people, well, you know, it's their thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Have you read the Bible any time in your lifetime? The Bible says God hates pride. So Pride Month is an abomination. Pride parades are an abomination. Pride is the opposite of the Spirit of Christ. Whatever Christ is, it's not pride. I had somebody one time say, well, you know, he's the most arrogant person who ever lived. Yeah, and they said, well, he boasted and claimed to be God. That's not boasting when it's true. He was telling you the truth. And he claimed to be this and claimed to be that. I said, well, it was all true. It's pretty amazing. Those people, I pray for their soul. He were. Repent before it's too late. But let's do a little scripture with scripture. Pride is the original sin of Lucifer. Go over to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And I get in a little trouble with people, but I believe that Eve did not commit the first sin. I mean, to rephrase that, it's not even something I believe. I just know she didn't commit the first sin. Eve's sin was the first sin among the creation of the earth from the first day of creation on. And Eve's sin brought death upon creation, the creation of Genesis 1:3 through the rest of the chapter. And that's what you read about here in Ezekiel 28, beginning in verse 11, says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, because of that right there, people who don't have the Spirit of God or don't have discernment or refuse to receive truth on whatever level, don't understand that many times the prophets spoke to the power, humanly speaking, but spoke to the power behind that human. So when he spoke to the king of Tyrus here and speaks to the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14, we're going to see in a second. He's speaking to the power behind that. Just like when he looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter was under the influence of Satan. So he spoke to the power behind Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Same thing's true here. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now you're going to be given a clear hint in every one of these prophecies that I just mentioned, where he's speaking to the power behind the earthly power. He's going to tell you right off that he's not talking to the man, he's talking to the power behind the man. Look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, how many of you know the king of Tyrus was never in Eden?
Right.
See? So God makes it pretty easy for those who will pay attention. And he describes the beauty. Now, this is what he looked like, I believe, before he was cursed in the garden. And so he didn't look like what a lot of people, they'll picture a snake with little arms or something. Right. And he was a beautiful creature and cursed then to be what we now see as a serpent. In some form or other at that time. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. That's why so much of our music is satanic. Why? Because Satan is a musical creature. And so when you're all into the Beatles and singing glorifying drugs and the occult and everything years ago, didn't realize what you're saying and singing. Lucy in the sky with diamonds, LSD. Strawberry fields forever shooting up. Strawberry fields. Yeah. We all live in a yellow submarine. That's what, you know that?
That's shooting up to
no, no.
Hey Jude.
That's there. But what's the yellow submarine? Quaalude. Yeah, all their songs after a certain point became all about drugs and all about the occult.
1967 on.
Hey Jude, but then remember My Lord. You remember that?
Yeah, that was George Harrison on his album.
And it was a tribute to Hinduism, the Hindu gods.
Krishna.
On and on it goes, and it's just one of the groups. The Beatles is one of them. Look at verse 14, still describing Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. So when you read about the cherubs in the Old Testament at the mercy seat, he was originally one of them. And I set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's something we can't even imagine. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. See, he was created sinless. Till what? So he had a free will. And he made the choice to rebel from the heart first. And then verse 16 says, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. And then we see the consequences. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was what?
Lifted up.
Pride. Pride. See? Thine heart was lifted up. First sin was pride. Because of thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will. See how many times right there in this text. I will cast thee. I will destroy thee. That. But then he. But you see that I will cast thee to the ground. These are God's I wills. We go to Isaiah 14 a second. We're going to see Satan's I wills. See, it was a battle of wills. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And so forth. We don't have time to keep going, but that's an amazing text. And so pride ultimately made Lucifer desire to be his own God. That's what's going on in the sodomite world today. Did you see the lesbian soccer player? What's her name, Jimmy?
I can't remember her name.
And they lost in China, but they're still heroes to the liberals. And she was holding a sign up. What's on your dollar bill? What's the motto?
In God we trust.
Her little sign said, in gay we trust. Make themselves their own God, just like Lucifer. Look over at Isaiah 14, if you're not already turned there. Isaiah 14 tells us about more information about the fall of Lucifer. And again, all the spiritually blind people, we'll look at verse 4 where it all starts and say, that's talking about the king of Babylon. And it's the same thing. He's talking about the power behind the king of Babylon at this time. And in verse, we got to skip to the chase here, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Your new versions remove reference to Lucifer. Satan's always trying to hide his identification. Satan is a great counterfeiter. So he brought out the new versions where they hide his identity. And people are actually arguing with people now saying his name isn't really Lucifer. Has been for thousands of years, and suddenly because of new versions, they're changing it. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Now, you count, there are five I will statements here. And it's all about pride. For thou hast said in thine what?
Heart.
I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Pride. Verse 15. We could read the whole thing. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's my theory, that hell is going to be one of those things where the edges of it are going to be the deepest and the hottest.
Mm, interesting.
And that's why Lucifer will be at the sides of the pit.
That's interesting.
Pride is the foundational sin of Sodom.
Amen.
Look over at Ezekiel 15. And we've talked about this many moons ago, I think, here. But in Isaiah 15, 49 and 50... I'm sorry, Ezekiel. What did I say? That can't be right.
No, that's not right.
You look it up, Jane. It's Sodom, thy sister.
Oh, okay.
I got the wrong chapter there. Oh, it's 16.
Oh.
Typo.
Ezekiel 16.
Typo, just in time for, I think somebody's out there. So I think it might be the Elbows. They may not show up at the funeral. Right. Nope, there they are. I had a typo. I said, it's time for the Elbows.
Did you just say Ezekiel 16?
16 verses 49 and 50. Now,
Ezekiel what?
Ezekiel. It's really, can you see it?
No.
What? You didn't?
Ezekiel chapter 16.
You have to tell me when it goes off.
It just went off.
It just went off.
All right.
It went off.
Thanks.
Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50.
I wonder why you all keep asking. I'm like, can you not read? All right. Now, I want you to pay attention to this very closely, because what you're going to read in verse 49 is quoted many times in defense of Sodom. Because what they'll say is, the sin of Sodom was inhospitality. I kid you not.
Yep.
You can even read books trying to defend homosexual relations. It says in verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. And they'll say pride, fullness of bread. They'll skip pride. That's a really big one there. But they'll skip pride. So all this Sodomite pride events and everything, it's nothing new. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Now listen to this. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Period. And so they'll stop reading there and they'll tell people that's what the sin of Sodom was. No sex. Ain't nothing about sex in there. Read verse 50 with me. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. So, always make them read verse 50.
Mm-hmm.
Committing abomination is the sex between Sodomites. But go back to where it started there in verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What's the first thing mentioned?
Pride.
It's the original sin of Sodom.
Things are at the top of the list.
Yeah.
For a reason.
The text telling us of God's disgust with human pride seem endless. We're going to have a little reading exercise here. Jenny, look up Psalm 12:3. Now, listen to the one I tell you, not everybody else's. Write it down if you have to. Otherwise, this will be a confused mess like a Democrat convention. Kim, Psalm 31:18, the second one. Jim, Psalm 119:21. The third one. Mary, Psalm 138:6, the fourth one. Doug, Proverbs 15:25. That's the fifth one. Mark, Isaiah 2:12. And then Jessica, Isaiah 13:11. So usually in the same book. Mark, Isaiah 2:12. Jessica, Isaiah 13:11. It's right there on the board. You see it up there? 6 and 7. Yes.
When is your turn?
Okay, so I have
Johnny, Malachi 4:1, Jenny Allbaugh, Luke chapter 1, verses 49 through 51.
Yes, sir.
Jill, 1 Peter 5, 5.
Yes.
So you get the ninth one, you get the tenth one, if you remember. Let's go ahead and start. We're just going to go around the room, and we're going to listen to God's word regarding the proud. Jenny Miller.
Psalm 12:3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things.
Psalm 31:18. Let the lion lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous.
Psalm 119:21. Thou hast rebuked the proud, they are cursed which do hear from thy commandments.
Psalm 138:6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off.
Proverbs 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the order of the world.
Mark, Isaiah 2:12.
Lofty.
Mm-hmm.
And upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low.
Lefty would work, though. Proud and lefty.
That's great.
All right. Jessica, Isaiah 13:11. Johnny?
Yeah.
Tell us what you're reading real quick. So everybody...
Malachi 4:11.
All right.
For behold, the day coming that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubborn. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch.
Amen. Jenny, Luke 1:49-51.
For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
And Jill, 1 Peter 5:5.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, it is.
We'll turn that back.
You can get it later. You can't be proud and be right with God.
Amen.
That's right.
You can't be proud. That's why I know what people mean, but I have actually avoided saying things like, I'm so proud of you, to my kids. If you've done that, I just chose to tell them that, you know, not, different ways. Of course, I tell them I love them. But I tell them, you know what? The Lord is really pleased with you. I think that's much more important to a kid than you being proud of.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's so good being your dad or mother. It's so good being your dad or mother. And there's other ways you can say it. But I just avoid saying I'm proud of, because there's such thickness of pride in this world today.
Right.
And it's wrong.
Amen.
And proud to be an American. I even saw a shirt that said I'm proud to be a Christian. And I just won't wear it. I won't wear those shirts. I won't put those bumper stickers on. Why? Because God never tells me to be proud of my nation. I do like God Bless America.
Yeah.
And I do believe God has blessed America. And I think it's in spite of us, not because of us.
Yeah.
Right.
But God's never told us to be proud of our country. He's told us to be basically thankful for our country. You just look it up in the Scripture. And the more I read and saw, I'm like, you know, I'm not going to go preachy on everybody and rebuking everybody, running people off the road and ripping their bumper stickers on. But I just, as far as I'm concerned, I think we need to be biblical as best we can. And so we end there in verse 6, back in James. We know that he will not give grace to the proud. Amen?
Amen.
So who does he give grace to?
The humble.
But God, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we joke about people who really like to brag about how humble they are. Yeah. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. You know, the songs like that, making fun of it. Put away pride and death to self. Meaning, don't be all about pleasing you and, you know, puffing your chest and having everybody patting you on the back and all that sort of thing. And you know what? When that doesn't happen, if that's not what you're all about, you'll be less disappointed. Because it don't happen a lot to most people, especially unless you're like famous or something. But humility, it's the opposite of worldly pride. Humility, you can just think of it as the opposite of worldly pride. Scripture with Scripture, grace follows humility before God. Grace follows humility. It doesn't produce humility. It follows humility. Grace produces everything else in you. But you have to humble yourself before you receive grace. We just listened to Jill read it. Let's go back to where she read, because I want to read a couple more verses. I almost took that out of there, and I thought, nah, 10's a good number.
Yeah.
First Peter 5 is the number of us Gentiles. First Peter 5:5, she just read it. And the verse ends for God, oh, it says, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, if you're there, read verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's it right there. Humble yourselves, that he may exalt you. You know how he's going to exalt you? He's already given it to you legally. You are a son of God.
Amen.
You're a child of the King. You're much better off than Prince Charles. And what's that couple everybody's talking about all the time? Prince whatever and Meghan. Harry! Yeah.
Harry and Meghan.
You're better off than Harry ever will be unless he becomes a child of God too. And then you're equals. But just think about it. He is going to exalt us.
Amen.
Never approaching His glory, and yet clothed in His glory.
Amen.
It doesn't make sense sometimes. You think about it. But He is so much higher than I, and yet I'm going to be clothed with His glory. The Bible says we will be as He is.
Wow.
Don't ask for an explanation, but I believe it.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, therefore, in Christ, we follow His pattern. We're going to close it up with this Philippians 5, just a few pages back. Philippians chapter 5. I'm sorry, that's it. Chapter 4, is it? I've got another typo.
A little happy five.
Two.
Yeah, we lost the screen.
Philippians 2, 5 to 8.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Philippians 2.
These things. Great network.
It's great.
give up on. Philippians 2 is going to work there.
Beautiful.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's been hacked up and perverted by the new versions. But look at verses 7 and 8. Read it with me. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even Christ as our Savior. Don't go ahead, Jessica. Listen.
I'm sorry.
We're going to get there. But you got to listen to what we're trying to get out of the text we just read. The text we just read said that even Jesus, before he could be glorified by God the Father, was humble. And it says, made himself in the fashion as a man. He's God.
Amen.
And made himself in fashion as a man. The humility of Jesus results in our humility before him for eternity. Think, I hope you're thinking that through. Pick up in verse 9 where Jessica tried to keep reading. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Stop, wait a minute. He gave Jesus a name which is above every name, but it says wherefore? Because he humbled himself. Now, there's argument here, well, he's God and he wouldn't have done anything other than that. That's beside the point. The point is, he humbled himself, became as a man. I mean, I don't know about you, just the idea that God would become a man and then let them do what he did to him.
Right.
To save us. Wherefore, then, God has also highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. We're going to go on, but you know, the Bible says that Jesus himself has a name reserved to himself that the Father will bestow on him for eternity. My theory is, I've said this, some of you heard it, my theory is that in hell they're going to be blaspheming in the name of Jesus forever. Jesus is going to be given a name that they will not know. And no one will ever blaspheme that name. Ever. Read verse 10, 11. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself. He humbled himself so that he might save us and be lifted up, that then we can humble ourselves before him as Lord and Savior forever. And forever, we're going to be very happy to be in that humble position. Below him, before him, exalting him. Forever. All we have to do, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I am anybody in this room, all we have to do is keep this in mind as we face what's going on in this nutty, pathetic, fallen world. And we can keep our wits about us knowing what's coming.
Amen.
We just read, Jeffrey Martis has a book out on the book of Job, and he referred to this planet we're on. Think about it. We talked about it, I think. I missed it. Maybe Sunday. Planet of death. And yet, Jesus has conquered death for those who will come to him. And by his work, we are saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. All right, we're going to pick up there next time. Doug, you want to say something while my musicians,
yes,
at least one of them come? You guys hang out. Take it easy.
I thought of one song, and that's the song of "For Yourself in the Sight of the Lord." Because it applies to what you were talking
about. Yeah, what song is that?
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
I'm not familiar with that song.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you higher and higher.
That must be, Jessica, that must not be in the hymn book, huh?
Probably in your brain.
No. It, yeah, I think all
right. You had a question?
Could you put that in other things?
After we're done. Psalm 198.
Psalm.
Hymn 198.
My goodness.
I know you don't ever make mistakes when you talk.
No,
never.
Psalm 198, there is power in the blood. You can stand if you'd like to. BBFOhioProtonMail.com. We're having to use notepad paper if you want to quickly get some prayer requests written down in the house. We'll say goodbye on three to the live streamers. One, two, three.
See you here, there, or in the air. Bye, guys. Go get some tea.